Brand Canada has been shining bright over the last year, in part because of the political situation in the U.S. But when it comes to our stock market, Sheldon Dick isn't that big of a fan, or at least not a completely devoted and full-on fan. He is the CEO of Greyhawk Investments, and he's advising clients to reduce their home country exposure. Hello, Sheldon.
Good morning, or good afternoon for you, Bruce.
Love the country. Hate the stock market. I know I'm polarizing your views only slightly, but it is a lovely dichotomy. Why are you less of a fan of the Canadian stock market?
Yeah, I think our views would best be described as just moving to a neutral weight in Canada, which is a dramatic change for most Canadians who are seriously overweight, which we think brings a number of risk factors with it.
For example?
Well, Canada's economy is predominantly driven by resource companies, oil, gas, other commodities, and financial services and banks in what is now, you know, less than 3% of the world's economy. And that comes with some very concentrated risks, especially at a time when we may be going through one of the most significant changes in our lifetime as the end of the resource cycle is upon us, and what some people are calling the next industrial revolution being driven by technology, sharing economy, and forces like that.
What supports your view that we may be nearing the end of the, air quotes, resource supercycle? Why do you believe that's happening?
Well, I guess history would have a lot to do with that perspective. If you look at any commodity blessed, and I'm returning your air quotes right now,
yeah.
region, that typically has a cycle and comes to an end, whether it was cotton in the south or whether it was whaling, which was one of our first sources of energy years ago on the East Coast predominantly. And you think of coal in Great Britain before cheap oil was found in the North Sea. Of all of these things have a time and a cycle. And what is happening is that through technology and greater efficiency of conventional combustion engines, through replacement of combustion engines with much more efficient electric vehicles, the sharing economy with things like Uber and Lyft and Turo and other things, meaning that far less vehicles are being consumed and used or used much more efficiently, perhaps. Autonomous vehicles making roads and vehicle consumption far more efficient. There's so many factors that make it difficult to look out 30, 40, 50 years and see the world continuing to evolve as it has. And perhaps no better canary in the mine shaft than when you have one of the largest holders of oil on the planet with Saudi Aramco changing their strategic plan to say we need to diversify away from being a resource-led economy, a pretty clear warning sign for Canadians that maybe they should consider a similar strategy.
You've spent most of your career in the province of Alberta. Are you still allowed to go to the Petroleum Club based on these views? surely the people around these tables and in the boardrooms of Calgary would say, wait, Sheldon, hold on. This is a good sector. Don't leave us now.
And it is a good sector. And as I said, my stance is more of a returning to a neutral weight for Canada, not that we need to be bearish on it.
Still, neutral would be a significant decline. If you're looking at your asset allocation and you've got the RRSP holdover when minimums in Canadian equities were required, that could be a significant reduction in someone's portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. That, Canada's 3% of the world. If it's 35% of your portfolio, that's a significant change and reduction. And, it's giving the best counsel to people is not always popular. I remember in 2010 and 2011, I was doing a panel across Canada, and the theme of the conversation was the next 50 years in Alberta, boom or bust. And I was one of the only people that they could find to take the, the bust case at that point. And it wasn't because I don't love the place and enjoy my time in Alberta and have tons of friends and family there. It's just the reality of where we find ourselves in the development of the world and innovation and progress.
Mm. The other theme you talk about when you talk about investing is on transformative companies. And there are many of them that we could name, the Facebooks and the Googles. What do you look for in particular when you think about transformation?
Yeah, looking for things where you don't have to pick, who's going to win the autonomous car battle. Is it going to be Uber? Is it going to be Tesla? Is it going to be the conventional car companies coming late to the party and taking over that market. If, you know, people forget that Google was not the first search engine. They weren't even in the first 10, but they certainly revolutionized the space. And picking the winner in each of those places can be difficult. But what we like to see, whether we're looking at private equity funds or other types of investments, is who provides components that's going to succeed in lots of different scenarios. So perhaps people that provide the components of the radar and the other things that will get used regardless of who the particular company is that wins the autonomous car battle, so that you don't have to be on the fine edge of innovation, but you can capitalize on the broad theme.
Is that a bet on a growth strategy over a value strategy?
I think there are elements of different types of companies for sure that win in those environments, and typically, you know, safe bet things, I think, like government bonds that have, you know, long duration and hence a lot of interest rate risk, that have typically been safe havens, are in fact less safe these days and carry a fair amount of downside and very limited return. You know, resource companies and other things that might have been traditionally safer may have less of those characteristics going forward. So there is an element of that for sure.
If not Canada, where? So if you take it to take it to where it represents in terms of total market cap, it's much lower. Where would you go?
Well, if you follow some of the academic research, and in the 90s, you know, two Nobel Prize winning economists took on this theme, Black and Litterman, and the development of a model to help investors. And they said, you know, if you look at the market cap weightings of the world and you use that as kind of your starting point, what would your portfolio look like? And, you know, today it would be 2-3% Canada, it would be about half in the U.S., and it would be, you know, half kind of distributed in international markets across the rest of the world. And certainly if you look at where most of the growth is being generated today, it's being generated in places that are in, you know, developing markets like India, with an exploding middle class of 200 million people that for the first time have resources beyond just, you know, food and shelter that they're able to spend. And those are some of the exciting stories that will drive growth in the future. You know, China, all the concerns that people had a couple of years ago, they appear to have stabilized at about a 6-7% growth rate. So lots of exciting stories around the world that people want exposure to.
Sheldon, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Bruce.
Sheldon Dick is the CEO of Greyhawk Investments, a firm that focuses on high net worth families.